us now. What a mighty God our Jesus is.
The great I was, even though he was great. He's not the great I will be, even though that's going to be great, but I'm so glad he is the great I am. We need him right now. A present God. Aren't you glad you've got one? Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him this, we're serving an awesome God. We're serving an awesome God, guys. Play it one more time if you will. Brother Samuel, God bless you, buddy. We're serving an awesome God tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're serving an awesome God, Brother Johnny. God bless you, my brother. We're serving an awesome God. God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Brother Terry, we're serving an awesome God, buddy. Love you, man.
Heaven and earth adore Him. We just love to bow before Him. Because what a mighty God our Jesus is. One more time. Sing with all your heart. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is.
Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him.
Oh, what a mighty God
Jesus is.
If you believe it, say amen. If you know it's the truth, say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We don't have but just a few requests tonight. If you don't care, just stand with me. Brother Brad Johnson, get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Received a text message this afternoon for a prayer request for a sister, Faith Ablis. Don't know who these people are, but they stream the services, and they say the services are just a tremendous, tremendous blessing, and they're so thankful to have a church that they can stream the services, that they receive blessings all the time. So we praise the Lord for that. Amen. I want you to remember Robbie and Ryan Garland tonight, if you will. Both those requests need attention from the Lord, and we know He's able to meet the needs. So just remember those needs tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Sister Dana Ayers and family. She lost her father on Sunday, passed away. So let's remember that prayer request. Remember those folks. Continue to pray for those that have lost loved ones, the Gizendaner family, Brother Homer, Longoria, that family, that the Lord would just keep them in His care. And I know He will, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Brother Joel Moyer sends this in, emergency prayer request. Paramedics had to come and get his wife. She had blacked out. Don't know the extent of what's going on there, but they're just asking that we would remember her in prayer. I had to take her to the hospital. So just remember that prayer request tonight, if you will. I want to pray for Sister Alicia Babb, who has pneumonia and bronchitis. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. And then Sister Betty Roberts sends this in to keep Sister Teresa Roberts in your prayers. She's home from the hospital after suffering a light stroke. Will need speech and physical therapy for a while. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Teresa, Brother Taz, that the Lord would just be with them, be with that family, comfort their hearts, and just give her a speedy recovery. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe me with all your heart? Are you committed to that? That you believe He's able to do what we ask Him to do? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Brad, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We just commit them all unto the Lord tonight. Go, Betty. Appreciate you.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, what an honor it's to come back into your house again, Father, to spend time together, Lord, under the revealed word of the hour. Lord, I pray that you just have preeminence in this service, Lord. You see every need here, that hands that was raised, Father. I pray may you move, Lord. These requests in my hands, Father, these people had confidence, God, that we can approach your throne. Lord, you know each need and what it takes for each one to be delivered. Father, I pray may you move according to your perfect divine will. Lord, be with this service tonight, God. You see us, what we have need of. Lord, be with our pastor, Father. May you anoint him, Father. May you speak through him and speak to us, God. Father, we need you, Lord, because we fight this devil every day. Lord, this battle we have, we just can't do it on our own, God. We got to have you to help us. Lord, I pray may you just take full control of this service, Lord. Any sick here, heal them. Any lost, Lord, save them. Fill with the Holy Ghost and refill every one of us, Father. We just, again, ask you to have full control. And in Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome all of you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. You know, it really don't matter who gets elected in next month's election. Jesus is still the King. You realize that? It don't really matter who goes in. Jesus is still the King. And I'm glad I recognize Him as that, aren't you? Aren't you glad you can recognize Him as your King? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give Him a nice hand clap of praise tonight, if you will. I know what lies ahead. I know what lies ahead. Let's sing this little song tonight, if you will. Don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from right now, but I know who's in control of everything we look to. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, we're fixing to have church. It's camp meeting time. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. This road ahead is straight and narrow and leads to a better home. It was made by Christ that day at Calvary while He suffered all alone. This road may lead over many high mountains, valleys dark and low, but I walk each day with sweet assurance that I'll say
for my weary soul. Up ahead.
be at home with Jesus, where tears will never be shed. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead.
Aren't you glad about it tonight? Let's sing a little chorus just before we change the order of the service. Have a couple of songs tonight. Hopefully Brother John Cockman made it in. I don't know if he's here yet or not. But Brother Fred Perry is going to give us a song tonight. Brother John, if you come on to the platform, you sing after Brother Fred. You brothers, come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing for us. But let's sing this little chorus together tonight. I know this. When we get there, we've said it a million times and we believe it a million times. We're all going to have our time with him. And we're all going to get to thank him. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe words will fail every one of us for the grace and the mercy and the goodness that he showed every one of us. I got a lot more than I deserved. How about you? You love him tonight with all your heart for what he's done for you. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. We'll fall down, lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus just before we have our songs tonight. We'll fall down. We'll lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Cry, holy, holy.
You sung so good tonight. You can be seated. God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing. Brother Fred, God bless you, buddy.
Do you love the Word? I know you'll love the song then. My voice might be a little shaky, so you just pray for me. Now little David was a ruddy boy, sent to feed his brothers at war. But when Goliath defiled his Lord, off come his head with his own sword. And I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Although the winds are contrary and the sea is against me, I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Now Paul and Silas were sitting in jail, bruised and torn for the word they shared. And when the earth began to tremble and shake, the prison guards to God they take. I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Although the winds are contrary and the sea is against me, I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Now remember, Sister Hattie Wright, the words she spoke, oh, they were right. Now the Lord, oh, he was pleased. For with her son, she'll spend eternity. I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Although the winds are contrary and the sea is against me, I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Now read your Bible till you understand that John the Baptist was a holiness man. When the damsel danced, the king was flattered, but the prophet's head went on a platter. Well, I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Although the winds are contrary and the sea is against me, I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord. Although the winds are contrary and the sea is against me, I'm gonna walk on the water with my Lord.
All right. It's good to see everybody. Thank you. Some of the guys are making fun of my hair on the way in. He said, "What hair?" Thank you, brother. We were in doing some camping in Alberta this summer, and we'd been staying and working at a native reserve there, and I'd borrowed one of the missionaries' camp stoves. There's the moral. And so the girls and I were up in the mountains camping. I thought I would cook some soup. I guess I injected a little too much gas, and it blew up on me, and for about 3 seconds, I looked like one of those big strike-anywhere matches. So I figured it was a lost cause at that point. True story. This is a song I sang here a while back, and on the way in I got a couple of requests for it, so I'm going to give it a try here. The song that came from a study of Numbers. There it is. Seven stood in the dark with Noah. For 7 days the door stood shut. The seventh son from Adam rose before the rains came down. And there were seven pairs of all clean beasts. 7 days between the doves. Seven son from Adam. Hang on a second. That sounded great, but it sounds so good I'll start listening to you. Seven stood in the ark with Noah. For 7 days the door stood shut. The seventh son from Adam rose before the rains came down. And there were seven pairs of all clean beasts, and 7 days between the doves. Seven colors wrote God's promise when the sun shone down. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God was finished and Christ came down. In a vision, John saw seven candles, seven stars in the Savior's hand, seven spirits before the throne when the Lamb stepped down. And he wrote seven letters to seven churches. Seven prophecies declared the end. Seven angels would bear the message that John wrote down. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God was finished and Christ came down. John saw a woman clothed in red. On seven hills she made her bed. Seven kingdoms rose and fell before. Then the Lamb of God stepped from his throne with seven eyes and seven horns. The angel declared time should be no more. And there came seven angels over Arizona, 7 ages coming to an end. Seven seals were loosed and broken when the sword came down. And it went seven times around the world. The seventh trumpet began to sound. Seven thunders began to echo when the word came down. Soon the Antichrist will rise. Seven plagues falling from the skies. Seven vials of famine, death, and war. Then the word of God will take his right. These seven words upon his thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God was finished. Choosing a bride without spot or blemish, she'll rise to join him on his throne. The seventh day at last will dawn when Christ comes down.
Praise the Lord. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate our songs tonight, don't we? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, if you will, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring us the word of the Lord. As most of you probably already know, October has been set aside for Clergy Appreciation Month. And you've probably seen a lot of pictures in the paper, different clergy and different, and I'm sure each congregation appreciates the pastor that they have. I just want to say on your behalf and from all of us to Sister Carol and to Brother Donnie, I feel like God really, really, really loved us to let us have such an outstanding pastor. I mean that with all my heart. Praise the Lord. And this is a small token from you to your pastor and Sister Carol of just how much you appreciate and love them. And we're so thankful for what God has done for us. We're certainly not all of it, but I'm so tickled to death that we're part of it. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Let's sing a little chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. He's got it all in control. I believe that tonight. Do you? Do you really believe it? He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. One more time. Yes, He's got it all.
He's got it all. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be able to be in the house of God tonight? Praise the Lord. What a wonderful privilege to be able to come to church. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Let's continue on the continuation of the book of Acts. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. Now you see, an apostolic way is not to work against the church, but to work with the church. Now Paul was, as far as gifted above any of the people that was there. James, John, Peter, any of them. As far as revelations, all the things that God gave him. But I want you to notice his attitude. He was not going in trying to be independent and saying, now look, I don't need you all. I honestly don't even need you church people. I don't need you elders. I don't need none of the rest of you, because I'm more gifted than you are. You see, people who have that attitude and that mentality, they're not apostolic in their faith. They're not. Now watch. And they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. And there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. Now these people had accepted the initial stages of the gospel. They believed Jesus was the Messiah. They professed their faith in Him. And they'd actually become members of the church. Members of the church. But yet, they still had their Pharisaic tenets. Their Pharisaic doctrines and their ideas. Why? They'd never been born again yet. Now, they were church members and they'd accepted, but notice their identity. Pharisees which believe. They hadn't had a word birth yet. Well, praise the Lord. Hadn't had a word birth. So, men of the same sect. Now, notice Paul also was a Pharisee. But look at the difference in these two categories or calibers of people. One of them, Paul, being a Pharisee, strictest of the Pharisees. But when he comes, he's born of the Spirit of God. He lays aside this Jewish bigotry. Amen. And all these Pharisaic ideas. But these Pharisees, they come to the same message, but they hold on to it. One gets the Holy Ghost and one doesn't. More than likely, a woman's elect and the other wasn't. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some folks will struggle their entire life. They'll struggle their entire life to believe the word. The elect simply walk into it. We'll look at it, Lord willing, this weekend. When that Logos went out of the eternal, glory to God, they were right there with Him. And when God said, let us make man in our image, you were part of that Logos that was created. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this book of Acts. We're grateful, Lord, that you allowed it to be written, to cover the ups and downs of the saints of God, to cover the struggles and the situations that went on. We're grateful, Father, that it's not just a book that contained only supernatural and only miracles, but it contained the other aspects of the church. We pray tonight, Father, you'd take your word, speak to us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together again, Lord. I love Wednesday night. I thank you that we can come together in the house of God on Wednesday night, Father. Speak to us again, Lord Jesus, from your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. You know, had these people come to a spot to where they believed that circumcision would somehow avail to the spirituality of these people, make them more adhere to the law of God, make them somehow more Christ-like, if it would benefit them somehow. But instead of them approaching it that way, they actually go to the extreme side and say that you cannot even be saved except you're circumcised. So now they're not making this a part of salvation or a part of the gospel. They're making it a replacement for the blood of the Lord Jesus and the work of Calvary. Now, we believe with all of our hearts in sanctification, do we not? We believe men, women, boys, girls, there's a certain way for us to dress, behave, talk, walk, act. But let me tell you something. Sanctification is not salvation. And it proves these people did not understand the first basis of the gospel. And that was that salvation was apart from sanctification. Now, for many of those that are legalists in the message, this is why, if people do not meet their personal requirement of what they think people ought to dress like, look like, and do, they'll say they're not saved. Because they themselves do not understand the difference between salvation and sanctification either. But you see, a person can be totally saved. A woman could be in here tonight that maybe not know what some of you women know. She could be have on a pair of pants, maybe not dressed right. Maybe went to our place today and got her hair cut. May have makeup on. And if you're not careful, you'll say she's not saved. No, she's not sanctified. But the woman may truly be saved, but she don't yet know what sanctification is. Praise the Lord. But when we go to saying she's not saved, you see what we're doing? We're trying to overrule the first step by judging her by the second step. Now when we do that, then we are becoming her judge of her soul. And you don't know a person saved a bit more than the man on the moon. You know they're saved. Now we may look at it and say, well, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And that may be true. But that does not mean that Jesus Christ has not become the Savior of their soul. Now if they get it right, they will go on to sanctification. Praise the Lord. We look at them and say, well, they ain't nothing because they don't speak in tongues. wrongs and that don't do this and that and the other. That's not our place to say. They may be saved. They may actually be sanctified. And it was the Spirit of God who did that in them. If it's a real, true, genuine work. I've done found out a long time ago, most of us would be better off to let God do the saving and the sanctifying and let us mind our own business. Praise the Lord. You ain't the judge, no how. God never made you to be the standard or me to be the standard. God is the judge. Now, what these people have done, and no doubt they might have started out sincere, but they've become an instrument of the devil to be able to sow discord among the people. Now, notice what they've done. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So now they are making it absolutely necessary to salvation. Now, friend, I don't want to upset the apple cart, as it were, but we've done the same thing in preaching the message of Malachi 4 and saying that people don't believe Brother Branham is a prophet, they're not saved. You see what we've done? We've done exactly the same thing that these people done. Now, in order to be in a rapture, I'll agree with you. In order to have a word verse, I agree with you. But there will be many, many people that are saved that will go through the tribulation period and will actually come out on the other side with the robes made white and washed in the blood of the Lamb, that never heard the name William Marion Branham. They never heard the revelation of the seventh seal. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Why? Because we've done the same thing. Why would we do that? Because the same Spirit that was on these men never died. It's still alive tonight. And what's it done? It's come right around the ranks of the message to try to make us organizational. And Satan loves to do that. Then we become to where we set ourselves up that we're the one who judges everybody else. And none of us are the judge in the first place. God is the supreme judge. Now, you know they've done, and they want to come among the brethren. Notice, it does not say that these men are brethren at all. They're classed as certain men. Now, notice the way Luke identifies these men. And certain men, he does not call them brothers who have not yet been illuminated. Now, you believe whatever you want to believe. I believe these men of God were inspired of the Holy Ghost. So, I listen to how they categorize men when they refer to them. So, if they say certain brothers came down talking to other certain brothers, I'm going to believe they were both brothers and maybe one of them was an error. But if a man led of the Holy Ghost, pinning this by the Spirit of God, categorizes them as certain men, I'm going to categorize them as certain men as well. But these certain men did come in among brothers. Now, this is an amazing fact that brothers can be affected by brothers that are in error, or brothers can be affected by magistrates who absolute are reprobates, or brothers can be affected by certain men who ain't a bit more saved than the devil saved. Why? Because we're still human beings, even though we're brothers. Now, brothers could only be affected by brothers. Satan would never use anything but brothers to affect brothers. But brothers are sometimes dumb. Well, glory to God. Sometimes brothers and sisters can be affected by people that ain't nothing but serpent seed. Well, I done made some of you mad and I ain't even got off the platform yet. Now watch, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. Notice certain men, not brothers teaching brothers, but certain men who taught the brethren, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. Now notice whenever these men of God, as being shepherds, those that have called by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost to watch over the flock. Whenever they hear this, they don't baby around. They're not playing church. They take this as a very serious matter. had no small dissension. Look at the word dissension, stasis, which means sedition, insurrection, uproar, and strife. The word dissension, kurtelos, denotes that sometimes sedition or an intestine war, sometimes earnest and violent disputation or controversy. Now, it was a very, very serious thing. So these guys come in, and Paul and them, you believe they have the Holy Ghost. You believe they were humble, they were meek, they were loving, they were gentle. Is that an attribute of the Holy Ghost? Meekness, gentleness, kindness, humbleness. But do you understand there are times that the Holy Ghost will anoint men of God, and it also has other attributes. So when the flock is being assaulted against, or false doctrine is coming into the body, or certain men are trying to creep in unawares, then the Holy Ghost has another aspect. He can be very stern. He can be very harsh. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice, so once Paul hears, Paul and Barnabas hear this, they determine that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now notice, and let me point it out to you again, that Paul and Barnabas, even though they were not approved of necessarily by the brothers at Jerusalem, they were called of by God. But they were a part of the church, so they wanted to be recognized as part of the church. I wouldn't give you a nickel for an evangelist. I don't care if he can preach the door plumb off the facing, and he can preach the hinges plumb off the door. If he don't have a local church to go to, and if he don't have a pastor where he's identified with, he will not be preaching in this pulpit. I don't care. Every evangelist needs a home church and needs to work out of that church. If he don't, he's nothing but a spiritual bastard, and he has no right to be preaching the Word of God. He does not. He should be sent out by the church. Now notice this. Look how that these men, Paul never went up to Jerusalem to ask for their permission. Not at all. But when a question comes up, then the brothers talk about it and they say, you know what? Now your brothers are going out, and you're the main ones that's preaching to the uncircumcised, and this thing has become quite a confrontational idea. So what about this thing? We don't know what to do. Why don't you and Barnabas go up and talk to the elders? Now talk, they're not denominational heads now, but these are men led of the Spirit of God, and they felt like they should come together and talk about this and see what needs to be done for some understanding. You with me now? Now if the church of the living God would operate this way, how many issues would be resolved and settled? Oh my. So here these men, they feel that they should go up. Now notice in verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church. Now these men are not functioning without the recognition of the church. So as they go, they're going from one assembly to another assembly to another assembly, so they're recognized by the church. Notice it doesn't, Luke doesn't pin it down as churches as in plural, because it was one unified mystical body called the church. So as they're going up now to Jerusalem, going to Judea, and they're going up to Jerusalem, and they're going to meet with the brothers, and as they do, they're going on their way, and when they hear there's a group, now this is the ministry of a true prophet of God. As he hears that there is a group here, he doesn't go in and start a satellite group, but he goes right in and works with the group, and almost that group, and almost that group. Praise the Lord. This is apostolic, friends. So he doesn't go in and try to split that group and be able to start him himself another work out of that. So they pass through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they cause great joy unto all the brethren. Now, by now, the revelation of the Gentiles being merged into the Jewish church as being one body unified together, now the move was on. But remember, in the early days, it was a brand new revelation. They didn't understand it. Peter's the first one to preach. He takes the keys of the kingdom, and he unlocks it at the household of Cornelius.
rebellious. But by now, a few years have passed, so the revelation of the Gentiles being accepted is now growing. So as they begin to hear, the Gentiles are coming in, and the church people, they begin to rejoice, and no doubt many of these were Jews. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now listen here. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now what's these guys? Here they are. Now they come up, and now they don't let Paul and Barnabas go up by themselves, but they understand this thing is going to be disputed. So they come up and this, I'll tell you one thing, these Gentiles getting the Holy Ghost, they're a bunch of heathens, they're a bunch of idolaters. If they really prove they've got the faith of Abraham, let every one of these men be circumcised. If they're real genuine believers, let them do it. Well, I'm telling you one thing, you're confronting the prophet of God. It's one thing to confront a pastor, it's another thing to confront a teacher, but when you're confronting a prophet of God which has the word for the age, you better know what you're talking about. Oh my. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Wouldn't it be wonderful if preachers and the message would be able to look at some of these same things today and say to this and pulling off this way and this and this way and this and fighting this guy and this and fighting this guy. This was the apostolic way, was it not? And when there had been much disputing, oh my Lord, much disputing among the elders and the apostles, and we've got a prophet Paul, and we've got Agabus, and we've got evangelists, and we've got teacher women. I thought the book of Acts was just all healing, signs and wonders and miracles. You need to reread the book. Now here there is doctrinal things that is coming up, and of all these brothers, no doubt many, many of them have the Holy Ghost. And so when they get together, how are they dealing with this? There's disputings going on among them. Praise the Lord. Those of you that ain't never been to a preacher's meeting before, God love your little heart. Oh my. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know the how that a while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, you believe whatever you want to believe. I don't think that Peter is bragging so much necessarily, simply identifying himself as the one who had the keys to the kingdom, right? So God uses him. Peter's clearly identifying now that God was the one who called him. Peter didn't do it himself, but he said that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Lord have mercy, what a great thing this is. For a man to be able to stand up and identify that God has used his mouth to declare the gospel. Praise God. Amen. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, let's run a parallel from what Luke writes about this here in the book of Acts to what Paul wrote about it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is Paul's account of the same thing. Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Uh-oh. Now Titus was an uncircumcised Greek. Now wonder why this man of God would take this uncircumcised preacher with him. Right in the midst, and they're not discussing marriage and divorce. They're discussing circumcision. What if Paul loses the debate? What if the brethren decide the Gentiles has got to be circumcised? That's going to put Titus in a very difficult position. He took him with him for a reason. Glory to God. I don't think Paul was worried. To be honest with you, I don't think Titus was. And I'll read it to you why. Oh my, he said, and took Titus with me also. And I went up. by revelation. Hallelujah! I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now you imagine this prophet of God goes with all confidence. He does not tell us what the revelation was, but he simply tells us that God had revealed to him, so he is moving by divine revelation. Did the Lord tell him, Paul, don't worry about it. There's an end to this. You stand firm. I'll anoint you. I will use you to enlighten your Jewish brothers. We don't know what he told him, but he simply went up by revelation, and he could tell Titus all the way, don't worry, brother. We're traveling by revelation. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. All right, brother. I take your word for it. I take your word for it. Oh, my. Notice, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Amen. Now you imagine them Jews come out with their measuring tape. How long is your dress? How long is your hair? We got our ruler. Bring it on up here and I'll break it for you. So when they heard, are you a Greek? You look like a Greek to me. You don't look like us Jews. You got them funny looking clothes on, like a Greek. Are you a Greek? I am. Are you a believer? I am. You circumcised? I am. Like I am? I'm not. He was circumcised by the Holy Ghost. And apparently some of these folks had been circumcised, but not by the Holy Ghost. It's easier for daddy to do it than the Holy Ghost to do it. Praise the Lord. So here they start on Titus. You bring this unbeliever around us, this infidel, this heathen, he's got to be circumcised if he's going to fellowship with us. Paul just say, it's all right, buddy. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We're here by revelation. Now, I want you to notice how Paul, in verse 4, he said, and that because false brethren unawares brought in. Now, listen to what he says. Who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Whose bondage? Theirs. Not God's. Not God's. As far as God was concerned, circumcision was no longer needed. It wasn't God telling them to get circumcised. It was these men. Then when you do what these men say, then they are your head. Come on, children. I love my preacher brothers around the world and around the message, but I've never been in an organization, and I ain't going to get in one now. I refuse to be identified in any message group. You got to go here. You can't go there. You do what we say. No, sir. I want the Holy Ghost to be my guide. I want the Holy Ghost to be my leader. Don't you? So these false brethren, not brothers in error, false brothers. Now notice his attitude, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. We wouldn't even let them talk. We would not subject ourselves to their heresy. People want to argue and fuss with you. You do yourself a great discredit as a Christian to argue with them. Walk away from them and leave them alone. Praise the Lord. God don't argue, neither do his children. Oh my, what if you can tie them up? And what have you done? You've succumbed to that spirit. And you understand what a lot of arguing is about? It's to bring place, to make you subject to that spirit that's on that person. So listen, he said, to whom we gave place by subjection. rejection. Now you listen here, buddy. You listen to us. Oh, no. No, we're not listening to no lying devils. Amen. Praise the Lord, whether they're visible or invisible. Now notice, oh my, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Amen. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Oh my Lord. Now you can tell that Paul did not graduate from Bob Jones. He never went up to the college up in Lynchburg, and he never graduated from here and there. His pulpit manners was very crude. He was baptized by the Holy Ghost. His head was the Lord Jesus, not a bishop. My, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, that did nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now there's not two gospels. Now let's give Paul the word test. Paul says the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to him, and the gospel of the circumcision was committed to Peter. But actually, Peter is the first one to preach the gospel to the uncircumcised. Now, is there one gospel for the Jews and another for the Gentile? No. But notice his terms in relation to how they're looking at the church being divided. God had sent Peter right among the Jews, and that's where he seemed to be doing the best. Did he go to the Gentiles? Yes. He went and opened the door, and then he backed up after the door was open and went back mainly among the Jews. And Paul walked in the open door. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only that, notice now, that they should remember the poor, which thing I was also forward to do. Oh no, Paul. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Oh, wait a minute. No. Listen, brothers, let's not show this scripture because there's no healings here. And there's no miracles in this verse right here, so I'm not sure that it will help us. It's a preacher with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that got in the flesh. Rebuked by another preacher with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Should I go on? I was hoping you'd say that. But when Peter was come to Antioch, now notice here he comes, of course, Antioch is Gentiles. I withstood him to the face. Because he was to be blamed. Now, Paul, why did you have to write this, or Luke? Now, Luke, you know, when Luke refers to part of this, Luke leaves it very veiled. But Paul, I believe, felt led to name it. Now, after Peter corrected this and repented of it, why should Paul have mentioned it? Wasn't this bringing something out of him under the blood? I'm glad the Holy Ghost had these men of God's anointing about human mistakes. What about you? Now watch. For before there Satan came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. And here they are fellowshipping together, and the Gentiles is eating pig, and you know, they're eating duck, and they're eating geese, and they're eating all these things that Moses said they're not supposed to eat. And man, Peter ain't never eaten no ham like this in his life. them pork chops, as Brother Jewel calls them. I mean, they that thick, they is prime. And Peter said, oh, boy, this is wonderful, fellowshipping with the Gentiles and sitting there. And all of a sudden, he sees Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so. Dear God, I'm caught. Excuse me, brothers. Evening, friends. Brothers, you have to kind of watch these people. They're heathens. They're just new in the message. Oh, just... oh, excuse me. So there's Paul watching him, thinking, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Maybe he prayed and thought, should I go to him in private? Or should I, since it was done in public, should I rebuke him right in public? Oh my. Now some of y'all getting scared. So you imagine Paul buzzing right up in his face and saying, hey you! Is that hog I smell on your breath? Goes right up and withstands him to the face.
Yes, sir.
An apostle being rebuked by a prophet. What's the problem? Peter's still a human being. Now Peter don't cuss no more. Peter don't deny the Lord no more. But Peter's still a human. Oh, come on now, children. For some of you that think your flesh don't make no more mistakes, you better reread your Bible. Oh my. Listen how Paul addresses this. For before certain came from James. Now remember, James, when you read the book of James, you'll put your spiritual understanding on. And listen how that James lacks still when the book of James is written. The understanding of the merging of the Gentile bride and the focus of the Gentiles. But watch when they come from James, who was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Now these brothers come from James and they know James is still leaning toward the Jews and circumcision. They've got their little iPad and they're taking notes. Oh my Lord, is that Brother Harry eating hog? Dear God. Dale's got duck feathers on his plate. Don't they know we're not supposed to eat anything with a web foot and we're not supposed to do this and that and the other? We're taking them to headquarters. And Peter says, good Lord.
Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Jacob.
Paul looks at him. You imagine that prophetic eye in there. And he said, Peter, you hypocrite. My, you folks is quiet. But when they were come, I'd like to preach on that sometime. When they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, washing his hands. I had to go take a shower. Been around these Gentiles. I'm trying to bring them to the light. Is that a napkin around your waist there? It's a... Is that pork chop sauce on you? Oh, sorry.
Amen.
Notice what the scripture says. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. You believe Peter had the Holy Ghost? You believe Peter was born again? And Peter is afraid of a bunch of legalists. Fearing them of doubt. He actually was afraid of them. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him. Now here is their hero. I mean, here's one of the main men in this day, is it? Is it? Now remember, this is during the setting of the book of Acts. So here, whenever they see Peter doing it, then the rest of the Jews are sitting there eating pork chops and all the rest of that stuff. And they saw Peter and said, oh my Lord, we better separate ourselves from these Gentiles. You know, James is. Bless his heart. You know, James is. That guy there, he's his sidekick. He'll take my picture with that iPhone. Sure as the world. This is not me. It's my brother. This looks like me, but it ain't me. And Paul's sitting there looking at it. Shame on you, Peter. You, with your influence, caused the rest of these Jews to disassemble from these Gentiles. All because you was afraid. Oh my. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. It's amazing, isn't it? You know what dissimulation is, don't you? The opposite of assimilation. Now, under the merging of the truth, they had assimilated with the Gentiles insomuch they'd shake their hand and sat down and eat. Now, for you and I, we don't think nothing about this. But for a Jew, they'd been taught all their lives since it was that high, don't eat with the Gentiles. So now they'd merged together, they'd assembled together, there's fellowship and hugging their neck. Brothers, praise God, this is something I'd have never thought this would ever happen. This is absolutely wonderful what God is doing. And all of a sudden, they start crawfishing. Peter does it, then the Jews does it, and then Barnabas. Of all people, Barnabas. Now here sits these young converts. You can imagine what a great influence this is on them. How encouraging when the man who has the keys to the kingdom. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings. None of you that's here, nor none of you that'll ever hear this service. But let me tell every one of us, from the smallest church member to whoever thinks there's the biggest, preacher, deacon, trustee, whoever more, you ain't got no more Holy Ghost than this man had. Amen. And if this man's Holy Ghost did not perfect his flesh, I'm telling you, you're believing a lie of the devil to think yours is going to be perfected. And you're going to be without fault. And you're going to be without failure. This man needed a rebuke. But notice how, if Satan can get one person of great authority. Now, Peter was not a false prophet. Peter was not a false brother. He was a brother. But his flesh wasn't born again. Why? Lord, children, listen to me. Can't you see part of that Peter that was still wasn't converted? What was it? The flesh. What part was it, Brother Skip, that stood out there and said, you was with him? No, I wasn't. No. I wasn't with him. Now the soul become converted. But that tendency of Peter to bow under pressure was still there. Can't you see the weakness in your own flesh even after you got the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost wants to bring it subject, but it's up to you how subject it stays. This is a terrible blunder. This is a terrible blunder on the behalf of Peter and these Jews. And Barnabas, can you imagine trying to recover? He didn't run off with somebody else's wife. He wasn't out trying to get money and this and that. But his stability. You imagine the confidence the people had in the man. But that's what he was. A man. A man with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my. Paul said, Barnabas also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, way back where nobody would hear it, because I was so afraid it I said unto Peter before them all. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He told on him right there. Poke, chop, breath or not. So if you're being a Jew and you're living after the Gentiles, then why is it that you're trying to compel them? This makes no sense to me, Peter. What are you doing? And the brethren from James knew right there. They done caught the fox in the hen house. And the fox was Peter. Oh, my. If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Whew. This is the book of Acts. You mean message preachers disagree? That ain't a miracle to me. The miracle is to find two that do agree. Why do they disagree? Yes. The Holy Ghost in our souls cannot disagree on doctrine. It's our flesh. The Holy Ghost in Peter, so the Holy Ghost in Paul, so if Peter would have listened, he would have known. The Lord Jesus would have shamed Peter if he would have listened. But it was this urgency. Maybe they popped right over the hill. He didn't know they were coming. They come without being invited, and here they show up. And all of a sudden, it sends him in this tailspin. He don't know what to do. Oh, he's torn to pieces. And automatically, Peter reverts back to Peter. Children, don't you see yourself? Don't you see weaknesses? Don't you see tendencies in yourself? Even after you're born again, and the devil will try to pop somebody over the hill on you or get you in a real bind, and then you make a hurried decision. No, it's so easy to fall back to this unconverted part. Oh, my. Now let's go back to the book of Acts again, chapter 15, verse 36. Some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do." Now, unlike two men that showed up here last Wednesday night who said they were Paul and Barnabas, who've been traveling around in the message from church to church, been thrown in jail, sowing discord, and to come out here trying to sow discord here Wednesday night. And if they'd have stayed much longer, we'd give them a little southern hospitality with free room and bed. A little bit of breakfast, maybe. Might have been behind iron bars, but it would have been free. You say you would have done that? Absolutely. To them and anybody else that does the same thing. We're not playing church here. Now, in case some of y'all heard the deacons talking rough to these guys, they needed rough talking to. Why? Because they was not interested in truth. They was not interested in being helped. They were interested in causing trouble. Ask some of the ones they talked to. And ask some of the ones that they talked to later. And the deacons asked them to leave. Well, praise the Lord. You see, Paul and Barnabas was not going around sowing discord. Paul and Barnabas was going around checking with the brethren. You see, when God goes to correct people, God uses the highest people of character that He has. He does not use stubborn renegades who are not full of the Holy Ghost. God does not use rebellious people. The Bible says, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And the church said, so God don't send men around sowing discord and trying to get thrown in jail to build himself some type of great resume. You're going to wind up being lost. Come on, church. Anybody that goes around causing trouble and sowing discord among the churches needs the Holy Ghost. And may I say, we will not tolerate it, whether it's visitors or home folks. Hallelujah. My, Some of you got quiet. That's good. It's a good time to sow seed. We're not here to play church. I'm not a politician. I'm not running in this election. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to gain points so you'll vote for me or vote against me. That's up to you. We want to have a church around here where the Holy Ghost can move. We're not interested in a bunch of discord and a bunch of falsehood. We want the baptism of the Holy Ghost to move among us. Oh my. Notice, so Paul and Barnabas. Paul said, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now John Mark was actually Barnabas' nephew, his sister's son. In case you don't know it, this is the same Mark that years later writes the second gospel. Matthew, Mark. He was not an original eyewitness. So Paul said, we need to go back and visit the brothers. We should go back and see how they're doing. Have some meetings and just check up and see how they're doing. Barnabas said, that's fine. I agree with that. But I'd like to take John Mark with us. Oh my. Well, I can tell already this is going to be one of them quiet verses where y'all just going to sit and look at me. Now watch. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who had departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to do the work. Now under great strain, John Mark left him. He's not the type of guy you want with you when you're fighting. Well, praise the Lord. When the going got tough, he got going. So here Paul looks at it and said, I'm not sure what we're going to run into when we go back. So Barnabas said, well, I want him to go. I want him to go. And Paul said, no, I don't think it's good. I do not think it's good at this time for him to be able to go. So he disagreed with this suggestion. Oh my. Now the argument, the disagreement, paroxysmos, provoking, stirring up, arousing, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Oh, I can see right now y'all don't like these scriptures as well as signs and wonders and healings and miracles. My friends, this is the book of Acts. Is it? So here are these men of God. They had been comrades. The Holy Ghost had separated them together. The Holy Ghost said several years prior to this, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. So is the Holy Ghost separating them again? The Holy Ghost ain't the author of confusion. Now, was it a weakness in Barnabas because this was family? Oh, Lord, I better tread lightly right here now. You know, when you look at the end result of this, and we know the years later, that Paul actually recommends Marcus, which is his Greek name. And he become a man of great reputation and honor. But apparently, still at this time, Paul didn't feel him trustworthy. And this was such a contentious thing among them that he said was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. Think, Brother Terry, of all they had been through. Think of all they had suffered, Brother Dow. All the beatings and the stonings and all that they had went through as brothers and comrades. And yet this thing come between them and it was so strong, Barnabas wouldn't move. You know, was Paul right? Was Barnabas wrong? We being a prophetic class of people, we probably, most of us, would tend to think that Paul was right. Now, to me, looking at the basis of the continuity of the rest of the scripture, I believe he was. Because the church gave their approval on Silas going with Paul. But they never approved Barnabas going with Mark. Now maybe you think the church approving of your work don't matter. It shows your ignorance. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Now, Luke uses very strong language. I remember Luke was quite a learned individual. And in the Greek, the expression translated here was a sharp disagreement. It comes from the word that means to provoke to anger. Here, Luke mentions Barnabas the last time in this verse. Barnabas walks into silence from this verse on. But Paul walks into more glorious revelations, more glorious liberty. The gospel keeps right on going. Now listen to the silence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not put His approval on what Barnabas is doing. Yet Barnabas ventures out. I'm doing it. I'm going on my own. Go ahead. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Barnabas and Mark leave for Cyprus. Cyprus, of course, is where Barnabas is from. But the church never puts their approval. The church never says, go and let the Spirit of God be with you. Oh my, y'all didn't know this, huh? This is a good book for y'all to read sometime. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 15 verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. But the brothers never acknowledged Barnabas and Mark. But he felt like he didn't need it anyway. He don't need the church's approval. Bless God, he can do whatever he wants to do. And he does. Except we don't know anything else about him. Can you imagine? He walks right off of the pages of the Word into silence. Was he stubborn? Was he too hard-headed? Was it the tie of the flesh? The church didn't approve of it. God remained silent. We don't know anything else about their missionary endeavors. Praise the Lord. Friends, you know, it really is quite simple. Do you want to do something where God's blessing you and it's coming with the approval of the body and the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Or do you want to do your own thing and walk right into silence and basically disappear? I don't care what the church says. It shows you don't understand. Amen. I don't need that church, bless God. Yes, you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. These men who had fought hand in hand, prayed and battled, and somehow Satan got between them. Now, wait a minute. If both of these men were born again and both of them have the Holy Ghost, should there have been anything in either one of their flesh that would have caused any kind of issue? I mean, ain't the flesh of the Holy Ghost filled people without mistake? I mean, after all, you ain't got a white dog or a black dog no more. You're just filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, soul, spirit, body, eyes, tongue, mouth, liver, gizzard. You better reread your Bible. You're deceived. If you think this thing right here or yours has got the Holy Ghost, you're headed for a great downfall. This ain't nothing but a troublemaker. Oh, my. You know, it's amazing, but Paul relates to him. He speaks of Barnabas in positive terms, I guess we could say. Colossians 4:10, Archippus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus, which is John Mark, sister, son to Barnabas. He doesn't mention anything vile, anything wretched, nothing at all, just mentions by genealogy. touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. Now sometime after this occasion in the book of Acts, in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul refers to him again. He says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. What was the whole thing, Brother Gene? Timing. Timing. Was Mark a chosen one of God? He was. Was he one of the elected? No doubt. But Satan got between him and tried to make it jump the time. The appropriate time of God. Might not have seemed like he was doing anything. He was waiting and waiting and waiting. During those waiting times, it's when we're proving a lot of times who we are. Will we follow leadership of the Spirit of God? Or will we run ahead and do what we want to do? Which is what he does. Now he says about Mark, he says, what a great thing to say. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now you're as a man that run away. Run away. Would you have much confidence in Mark? And you heard about it. Well, you know what? They got over in so-and-so. My goodness, they got in trouble. And you know what Brother Mark done? Brother Mark left them. He left from right there. Would you have ever been able to got over that? Some of y'all been treated by preachers a whole lot less, and you still ain't let go of it. But Paul no doubt felt in his heart, it's time to be able to bring this in. Why didn't he with Barnabas? You see, Mark was not at fault in this particular instance. This was not Mark's fault. Maybe Paul wanted to clarify and let the brethren know this division that y'all have heard about. So now if you had been living in the first century and this had been written, whose side would you take? Oh, I wouldn't. Don't you sit there and tell me that. You're too stinking human. A little tale will run through the church, a little bit of gossip or this and that and other. And you know what the whole thing is about many times? To check and see how you'll stand. To see, well, what little bit of information that you've got, will you take and make an opinion and say, I'll tell you this and that and the other, when you've only heard maybe not even one half of the side of the story. Praise the Lord. Or would you stood for that prophet in that day and say, Barnabas, brother, I love you, but I believe you're wrong. I believe you crossed the prophet of God. Not only that, the church never recognized you going this way. Well, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You mean to tell me Jesus would tell them to go into all the world and preach the gospel? And then they'd head toward Asia and the Holy Ghost would say, don't go. After they were come to Mysia, and they assayed. Oh, I found the meaning of this word back there in the office a while ago. And I thought, Lord, thank you. And they assayed. Now listen, the word assayed means, brothers, ain't going to have it because I just found it a few minutes ago before I come out. The word assayed means tried, to make a trial. Or attempt. Or see if it works. Oh. You mean every move they made, the Holy Ghost didn't let him? Come on, children. Come on, let's realize we have made these men something they are not. We have made that first church, Brother Terry, something it was not. They struggle like you and I struggle. Sometimes they had thus saith the Lord, and other times they didn't know what to do. Sometimes the Spirit of God would lead them in this direction, and other times they didn't know what to do. They just throwed a shell in the gun. And they were come to Mysia. They assayed or tried. Well, we don't know really what to go, so we're going to try and see if this works or not. Amen. They assayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. So they was going to try it and see. Well, let's just see if this will work. We can't just sit down and not do nothing. Do you understand, friends, as a preacher, I have essayed to go to Africa. I have essayed to go here and essayed to go there and essayed to go somewhere else. And when it come time to get ready to go, the Spirit wouldn't let me go. Something come up, something happened. You say, my goodness, I mean, you made this appointment. You got this plane ticket. You done this and that and other. Lord, why didn't you tell me beforehand? Why didn't you tell them beforehand? Wouldn't it be much easier if he just handed us a map? This is your schedule, and I want you on this certain day to do this and do this. Now, this is infallible, so it's unchangeable, so you don't have to worry about it. He don't do that. He never done this in this church. So sometimes they went led of the Lord. Other times, you know, well, brothers who want to come over for a meeting, sure, let's come over. It'd be a good time to get together. And then when it comes up to the time, something comes up in the church, and you can't go. You say, now, wait a minute, is you led of God or not led of God? I was a saying to go. Praise the Lord. You've done the same thing. Well, we'd like to do this and do that and the other, and you get ready to go, and you found out, well, we're going to say to go. And God said, well, I guess you ain't going to say to go. You're going to stay home this weekend. You ain't going nowhere. And they were exactly the same way. They said, we've got to spread the gospel. We've got to go here and there and there. So they're heading down through there, and they're going to go to Mysia and to Bithynia. And the Spirit said, don't go. Now watch this. The timing again was not right for this city. But their plans were to go there. So God gently interrupts the plans. In verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, Paul was going to go this way, but God gives him a vision, say, don't go that way now. Well, what's amazing is a few years after this time frame, you find that this city they were going to go to become evangelized, and many converts came to the Lord. But the time wasn't right. Well, they're to go spread the gospel, but there's a season and there's a time. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly, gathering the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel. But notice how positive that Luke makes this. But he don't say it that way about going to Troas and Mysia. Why? They wasn't sure. They was putting a shell in the gun, and they're going to see if it fires. And if it don't fire, they'll pull it out and they'll put another in. They can't just sit around. Let's close with this verse. But the Jews which believed not, chapter 17, verse 5, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now the Jews are moved with envy. Look's what moving them. Why? They're having great success. Boy, this tears people up just about worse than anything. Whether it's a singer or a preacher or whatever it is, and they see it being successful, folks just can't hardly stand it. So they gathered to them together certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. Now actually, this is people, unemployed, idle people, who sat around the marketplace with nothing to do. The baser sort, lewd fellows. When you look it up in the Greek, this is who they were. So they wasn't going nowhere. They hadn't come from nowhere. And they didn't really have nothing planned for the day. So if you want to hire them to stir up a preacher, sure. As long as it ain't too much work involved. Lewd fellows of the baser sort. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Notice the different avenues that the devil uses. In certain cities, he'd use the magistrates. In certain cities, he'd use the rulers. In certain cities, he'd use the Pharisees. In this place, the baser sort works. Lewd fellows. Now you imagine that most of the people of this city knew the lewd fellows of this city. You'd think they wouldn't even have a say. Because they walked right by them every day going to work, piled up there under a big shade, you know, laying there. That's right there, and they come in. They knew they hadn't struck a lick at a snake all day long. Sorry, pile up, lazy outfit. And they knew what they were, and yet these become the ones who stir up the trouble. People ain't changed much, have they? You take anybody with any sense and say, now, wait a minute, who are these people anyway? These folks are nothing but base fellows. They're the lewd kind. Oh, praise the Lord. And when they found them not, they drew Jason. Poor old Jason, I've always felt sorry for this guy. And certain brethren under the rulers of the city crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Oh my Lord, this is an accusation of treason. So here's Paul and Silas, and they go in, and my, all these guys get all tore up. So when they hear the trouble going, they sneak out of town and leave Jason to deal with the aftermath. That'd make a real interesting YouTube video, wouldn't it? So how would you feel about that? If I come into Happy Valley years ago, man alive, I stirred up every magistrate, every cop, every sheriff coming and going and bring them down on y'all's heads. And when the trouble comes, I'm nowhere to be found. And I stayed with Jimmy or Skip or stayed with one of you all. And they come up and say, hey, Jerry, didn't you keep that guy? Come on, you're going to jail with us. And you say, where is he when I need him? He's the one who stirred this all up. Where is he? And he's gone. Now, would that hurt your confidence in me? Nobody even breathed. I mean, you'd be okay with this, right? I'd stir up all kinds of trouble. And then the law would come down on us. And then you can't find me. And they come to your house, Brother Rob. And I said, where is he? He said, I don't know. He was here a while ago. He's gone now. Well, come on. You're going with us. You wasn't even the guilty party. All you done was give me a place to sleep and eat. Let's stand. I gather by your all silence that this would be quite okay if I did you all this way. Why is it, friends, that we don't like to hear this part of the book of Acts? Why is it that preachers don't preach this part of the book of Acts? I'll tell you what. This takes away from our image of these men that they were just so... Oh, boy, every time they prayed, man, God come down. Devils run from them. They never had no... That's not the book of Acts. They had terrible problems. Sometimes they'd stand... And sometimes it's gone. And it looked like in several instances in the book of Acts that Paul was a coward. Now I said, looked. You know he was not, and I know he was not. But it appeared as if though he were. So here they raise all this trouble and they come to Jason. They said, where's that? I don't know where he's gone. Well, they bring Jason before the magistrate and say, Jason, alive, these men that have turned the world upside down, he has accepted them. And you know what they're preaching? They're preaching there's another king besides Caesar. Now you talking about cunning. They made their YouTube video and they made it and released it in such a way it could bring great defamation to the cause. So they worded in such a way, Jason and these men are guilty of high treason against Caesar. Praise the Lord. So if y'all had heard Paul was coming back in town, would you go back to hear him? Or would it be your great, 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 great uncle's, father's, brother's, nephew's, wife's birthday and you couldn't make the meeting? And your mule threw a shoe and your goat had this problem and that problem. And think of it, friends. Look at it in reality. Let's not super spiritualize it. Let's look at it in reality. Would you still have confidence in this man as the church age messenger? Would you sisters had a problem with reading what he said about you not being able to preach? Would you have a problem with him saying about marriage and divorce and all these other issues? Or would you say, he ain't got no right to tell me what to do, coward? You understand, some of these folks who've left the message and picked Brother Brown the way they did, if they lived in the days of Paul, they'd done the same thing to Paul. Some of these things that I'm reading to you about, they would have went around telling people. Hey, did you hear what Paul done? Paul went over and stirred up a big mess over there and left poor old Jason to have to deal with all the mess. And he run out of town like a coward. And supposed to have, thus saith the Lord. Did you hear what he done down there at that other place? They let him down the wall in a basket at nighttime. And that's the man you're following as a prophet. A church age messenger. He said that picture was up there in the Library of Congress. And it ain't up there. Oh, you haven't seen the pictures, huh? That the brothers from South Africa was up there just 5-6 months ago? Went into the Library of Congress, took the picture of the Library of Congress, took the picture of the file, and the picture of the door, and the picture of the picture. But you see, friends, we're dealing with some of the same old devils. But aren't you glad you still believe? Amen. Now let's bring it on down and make it personal. What if Paul had done me and you that way, Brother David? Paul and Silas would have come to mine Carol's house. Would have put them up. Would have sat there and heard them talk of the Word of God. Oh my, we kept them up nearly all night long and talking. The next day we let them sleep a few hours and just get up and hear them talking. Oh my, this is so wonderful. And we got converted hearing them. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. And then we hear this tumult coming up and we go to look around and say, where'd they go? They left us. They left us. Some of y'all are really having to think about this, ain't you? Well, friends, do you believe or not? But you see, our believing always becomes more personal. It comes right down to us, which is where God wants it to be. Don't you thank God for the book of Acts? Let's pray together. Father, we know it's so easy for us to formulate opinions and ideas of a church, of people, that really is a fabrication of our mind or a figment of our imagination. We can see, Lord, that we've done this through the ages. Thank you for allowing Luke to write and include not only the miracles, the signs and the wonders, but the struggles, the failures, the weaknesses of that first church. I hope every service that we preach on this, it helps us to realize we are closer to being a Book of Acts church than we ever realized. We've made the Book of Acts church something out yonder that's, oh my, so far beyond our reach. But the more we look at it, the more we realize we are right in the middle of it. Praise be to God. The Alpha bride was sown. The Omega bride has come up. And people are looking for a church without fault. They're looking for a church where everybody in there lives right. They didn't live right in the first church. Everybody in the first church didn't do right. And they're not going to do right now. But the elect will. Thank you, Jesus. I can't say I understand all these things. I can't say, Lord, that I as a human, I wouldn't have thought, wow, Paul, why did you do me that way? You turned and left me here, me and my wife. But I know this. Me being a word believer of that day, my misunderstandings, my not being able to reconcile it all together, would have never pulled that seed word out of my heart that that man of God sowed. If we'd have lived in the days of Luther, lived in the days of Irenaeus, lived in the days of whatever more, ever church age messenger, that human element would have been there. And no doubt the elect of God saw that. But they did not let that stop them from believing the word that come through those men's mouths. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, that we can be what you want us to be. As I've said before, Father, from the first night of speaking this, we don't have to make trouble in order to be the Book of Acts church. Trouble will be around us. It's part of who we are. Just like we don't have to make signs, it's part of who we are. Lord, as I heard your prophet say it today, that healing is only the bait on the hook. So, Father, we're not interested, dear God, in just majoring on the minor of divine healing. We believe in it. We thank you for it. But, Lord Jesus, we want the entirety of the book. We don't want just a page or two or a verse here or a verse there. We want to have a church that can stand against opposition. A church that can stand against trouble. A church that can stand against the government if need be. Help us, Lord. May we be that kind of Christians, I pray. Everybody in this place tonight that wants to be that kind of a Christian. Not just a Christian that stands with miracles and signs and supernatural. But a Christian that can stand if this church comes under the guns of the government itself. If this church comes under the, you know, the guns of Satan from people in and around the message. Can we still stand firm and say, I'm not leaving. I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. What about it, children? Is that the kind of people we want to be? We want to be sign seekers, fine sign followers, and not me. Not me. I want to be a word believer. And if I'm a word believer, these signs are going to follow me. And they'll follow you because that's who we are. So will trouble come, Brother Joel. So will difficulty come. So will these things come. But that don't mean God don't love us. It means the enemy hates you. And you are a threat to the kingdom of hell. Praise the Lord. One sign that we know that God is with us is when hell is against us. And God don't baby you around and God allows your faith to be tried. God can trust what you've got. A person that's got good gold ain't scared of the fire. Is that right, saints? Amen. It's the person who's uncertain of what they are. A faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. I want to have such faith that the Lord Jesus tried to stand in my way and discourage me. I'd have to look at him with honor and respect and say, Lord, I love you, but you ain't stopping me. I want to be like that Syrophoenician woman. The prophet said she had such faith, even the Lord Jesus could not discourage her. Oh, the old devil's been talking to me. The old devil, my goodness, you mean that's as far along as you are? It was not the old devil that tried to stop Jacob. It was God. Amen. It was not the old devil that tried to come against him. It was Jehovah himself wrestling and said, Lord, you're going to have to bless me because I'm not going to let you go till you do. We want to have that kind of faith, do we not? Whether we understand things or not, whether we make sense out of them or not, that doesn't matter. We know what has been revealed to us and the reason we believe. Oh my, I was out today coming from the hospital and the Spirit of God spoke a scripture to me as I was coming down the road and I stopped at a traffic light and pulled it up on my Bible, on my phone there, the scripture in John, where it said, we love him because he first loved us. I thought, oh, praise God. There's why the elect love him. Because he first loved us. Not because he blesses us with money and natural material things. I'll tell you why you love him tonight. Because he loved you before the foundation. temptation of the world. That's why there's nothing that can turn you around. Amen. You've got the same kind of love, the same kind of experience that these Book of Acts Christians had 2,000 years ago. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of them. How many's glad you can say you're one of them? Oh, hallelujah. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Then that day He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one. Let's sing it now. You love Him with all your heart. It's amazing to me how God will even let things happen that looks like terrible, embarrassing mistakes. I heard Brother Branham today as he's fixing to read his text for birth pains in Phoenix in 1965. His wife has just given him a new Bible for Christmas. He's looking for the scripture in John about the woman having birth pains. So he turns over to read it. You can listen at him as he's talking, and he's looking and said, see if I've got this right, if I've got this scripture. So he starts reading it, and it's the wrong scripture. He said, I've got it the wrong place. He said, that must be. So he turns and looks at it again. He reads it again. He said, Brother Jack, talking about Jack Moore sitting behind him, he said, Brother Jack, isn't that such and such? He said, yes, that's where it's at. So he goes, no, Brother Jack. He said, that's wrong. That's wrong. The Catholic priest sitting there in the meeting walks up with his Bible and said, be still, my son. The Lord has something great He's going to bring out of this. Read it from my book. After the service, Brother Ben said, they stopped to get a sandwich for the kids. And he said, Bill, I felt like all the eyes in that place was on me. He said, well, it wasn't your fault. He said, well, I felt like it's my fault. It wasn't your fault. He said, when they printed that, he said, it was a mistake in the Bible, in the way that they printed it. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the voice come and said, as he entered into the custom, the synagogue, as it was his custom, and the priest handed him the scripture. Oh, glory to God. And he read, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. what looked like, I thought of myself as being a preacher. I would have been so embarrassed, wouldn't we, brothers? We've been so embarrassed and so humiliated. And yet the Lord took something like that. Oh, you look at our human mistakes. Look at Mark. Look at all the different ones. And yet God turned around. Oh, you baby, don't just get so down on yourself because of your mistakes. Let God do something with you. Let God do something with you. You can wallow in that and self-pity and all that sort of thing. Or let God take your life and be able to make something out of you. Let God, by His blood, reverse those mistakes and absolutely annihilate them in His sight where they'll never be remembered against you. And let God do something with you. Look at that sermon that come out of that. Out of something that seemed embarrassing and humiliating. Why didn't God just speak that to him? But God orchestrated where that Catholic priest would sit there and get up and give Brother Branham the book. Oh, my exact parallel. Who was it? The Son of Man was here again. Oh, glory to God. The Son of Man was here again. And the priest had to hand him the book. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's go on the fear of God. Let's sing it together again. One of them. Service again this weekend. We come expecting the Lord to speak to us. My, I'm still feasting and rejoicing now on the services this weekend. Saturday night and Sunday. Oh, praise be to God. Ain't God good to us? Oh, He's so good to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's sing as we go. Go in the fear of God. One of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.